my fellow flight attendants and nurses. I'm your host, Doug. This is the Sportscast, the yearbook, and we can finally do it with a clear head because we finally found Jupiter in the night sky, we think. It's impressive. It's really bright, or something's really bright in the night sky. It was hard, though, mainly because it's nowhere near the Big Dipper. You have to find Libra. No one knows where Libra is. Is Libra even still a real thing? For Jupiter, supposedly, with the binoculars, you can get a good look at it, just with binoculars, but no one on this show has binoculars. Saturday at the U.S. Open, golf edition, Phil Mickelson, woefully out of contention, and on the 13th hole of all holes, ran after one of his putts as it's going astray, and he hit it back toward the hole again while the ball was still moving, which obviously is against the rules. He's going to be running laps, which that punishment might have actually worked. But we'll get to that. Anyway, Mickelson destroyed the sport of golf forever. There are three components here. First, this is sports. No matter what kind of times we live in, there absolutely should be respect and decorum at a big event like the Open. Players should remember who came before them and what the event means. And golfers are charged, to an extent, with policing themselves. And they should be honest. But the object of sports is to win, and not winning creates hard feelings sometimes. The 2018 U.S. Open is not the first time athletes have openly violated sacred codes. Often fights are started, basketballs are kicked into the stands, sticks are thrown, the equipment of opponents is kicked, all violations. Weekend tennis players throw rackets. John McEnroe yelled at Wimbledon. At the World Cup, a Colombian player was just called for an intentional handball to prevent a goal. He was immediately ejected. Why couldn't anyone immediately eject Phil Mickelson? But we'll get to that. All of these sports have survived being sports, and the U.S. Open will too. Second, Mickelson did not cheat alone. Now, I don't know what he was thinking, but he seemed to be hoping to commit a violation, cut his losses, repay the penalty, and maybe save some strokes, and just get away from that hole. He's going to be running laps. Mickelson's alleged plan, though, only allegedly worked when the USGA assessed a measly two-stroke penalty instead of kicking him out of the tournament. Why on earth did they let him play on? How could the governing body of golf allow someone to break the rules in order to stop golfing? How could they not throw the book at someone trying to shave strokes off their score? And if there is a gray area in the rule that allows someone to commit golf aside on a hole to prevent further damage, then the USGA obviously should get to work immediately on closing that loophole. And third, there's Phil Mickelson. This is sports, and the USGA blew its big chance to defend golf's honor. But as we mentioned, Mickelson certainly deserves blame for cheating. What he did is seen every day on many golf courses. It didn't look very serious. It was comical. And Mickelson was far, far from contention, but it was still cheating. I was ticked when very near the end of a college basketball game, the team that was way out in front walked the ball inbounds instead of inbounding it, and nothing was called. The game was already decided, but that's still cheating. Now back to Mickelson, who's also guilty of quitting. This shouldn't tarnish everything Mickelson's ever accomplished in his career, and it's a lot, and he deserves it, but for one day last weekend, he rolled over. He was stuck in a miserable tournament that he signed up for. Mickelson wanted out, so he committed an over-the-top violation and chucked his tournament. Mickelson quit on himself, he quit on his support staff, and he quit on his sponsors. And no way a few perfect comments were going to change any of that. But still, Mickelson opted out of framing this as an eccentric tin cup-type meltdown. Instead, he seemed to confess more than once to cheating, quote, "I took two shots and got to play the next hole," end quote. And tanking, quote, "I didn't want to keep hitting it back and forth," end quote, while offering no apologies nor any meaningful dialogue about the state of the rule book. Mickelson has the right to say whatever he wants, but, quote, "hitting it back and forth," unquote, sounds a lot like golf. And, quote, "I didn't want to keep hitting it back and forth," close quote, sounds a lot like "I don't want to play in the Open anymore." Remember that. The next time a football team is losing by 30 and has that defeated 40-yard stare, yet actually sticks around for the rest of the game. On a completely different topic, modelers, not models, modelers, continue to get picked on by everyone. Kyle Kinane, we just thought of this, it just occurred to us today, the evidence has been mounting for a while. The comedian Kyle Kinane has a bit about train set aficionados. The movie Tiny Furniture, you might recall, it's a comedy And it features an artist who photographs tiny furniture. And the new horror movie, it's supposed to be excellent. We can't vouch for that, but it's supposed to be excellent. How do people keep getting into all these movies? It's called Hereditary. It's supposed to be horrifying. It has Toni Collette building tiny model houses and then getting horrified. If you want to contact us, says in the yearbook at hotmail.com. Says in the yearbook at hotmail.com. That's our show for tonight.